Hey, Marriage After God family, you've heard me talk about Samaritan Ministries and how believers come together to care for each other's medical needs. Well, Samaritan has recently launched Redeem HealthShare. It's a different sharing option from Samaritan that offers flexible, affordable programs with the same biblical foundation. Redeem still gives you the freedom to choose your providers, while also including options for dental, vision, and preventive care, and all through a modern digital platform. New features, new programs, new options. Check it out at RedeemHealthShare.org for more information. That's RedeemHealthShare.org. Hey, Marriage After God family. Welcome back to the Marriage After God podcast. Today's episode, I'm talking with Caleb and Stephanie Rouse. This couple's wonderful. Young couple. They have an online ministry, a pretty large one at that. You might even be following them on Instagram right now. I've been wanting to talk to them for a while. I've known about them for many years. We sent them books actually a long time ago, and we talked about that for a minute. But they share their journey of coming to faith. They share their journey of getting married, and then they also share their journey of why they started their ministry in the first place, of wanting to encourage and help married couples and also help singles in their walk with God in pursuing godly relationships. But in this conversation, we talk about how they miscarried their twins, and how they got through that together and how they got through that with Christ. We talk about our ministry in preaching the gospel and encouraging people and in prayer. And we also talk about their newest book, Wholehearted Love. And so I just want to encourage you to check out this episode. I thought it was encouraging for me. So I think it's going to be really encouraging for you. So I just pray that you would enjoy this conversation with Caleb and Stephanie Rouse. Hey, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jennifer.
And we're the hosts of the Marriage After God podcast. Our desire is to help you cultivate a marriage that chases boldly after God's will for your life together.
We want to invite you to subscribe to our show wherever you watch or listen.
We are so glad you're here, and we pray that our discussion truly blesses you and your marriage.
Welcome to the Marriage After God podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Marriage After God episode, Marriage After God podcast. I'm here with Caleb and Stephanie Rouse. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey,
thanks for having us, Aaron.
Yeah,
am I saying your last name right? It's Rouse.
It's Rouse.
Rouse,
like house, but with an R.
There you go. See, I knew I had to ask. I should have asked before we started. Actually, Caleb and Stephanie Rouse. Okay, like house. Perfect. Well, welcome to the show. I'm excited to be talking to you guys. We've kind of had a sort of a relationship for years now. We were just talking about that. How did we get connected years ago? Because I don't quite remember exactly what it was. I think I reached out to you maybe about doing a giveaway or something.
Yeah. So Stephanie and I had been, doing things online for a little bit, and we were really, starting to really transition in the relationship space and, getting some traction. And all of a sudden I get a DM from like the marriage gurus of gurus. And you say, hey, man, love what you guys are doing. I'd love to send you guys some of our resources and let's, do a giveaway or something together. And I was like, yeah, love it. Want to learn from the best, And so you sent us like a ton of your books. And I still remember, I think the guy's name that I sent it to, there's a guy that won the giveaway. And he said, I love these books. They're amazing. They've really helped my marriage. And he's in like Texas somewhere. But it was great. But yeah, we got connected, and then we're getting to come back.
Yeah. And we, in my Bible study that I was in at that time in LA, several of the women had your books, and one of the women, she read your wife's book, Jennifer's book, about prayers for your, future husband, and her and her husband were both reading them at the same time, and then they ended up getting married. They were both praying. They were both reading your book, praying for each other. And so I think we had your books, like these prayer ones that we still have. They're very well loved. We've gone through them so many times. We have page after page. I said finished so many times before that. So I just started counting in 2021.
I have it down as I've done it 30 times on here, like read it through 30 times on here. Now is when I started counting.
Yeah.
So it's been
a lot of time. So your books are very well loved. We pray for each other every day. And we always did before your books. And then that just helped give us a guide, and just always so passionate about doing that and helping others do that. So thank you.
Well, that's amazing. I love that. I never know, we have this ministry, and we've been selling books for years and writing these books. Yeah. And we don't always get to see like how people have used them or the fruits of them or anything like that. And so it's really cool to see that you guys have done that. And what's been amazing also is watching your guys' ministry grow since then. Mm-hmm. You guys have your own books now, right? We're going to be talking about one of your newer books towards the end of this episode. But don't you have – do you guys have some prayer books? I feel like I
– Yes. We they just released this year. So our – you know, 52 prayers for your wife.
I knew I saw those.
Yeah. And they're devotional books. And so our publisher, Tyndale, we wrote our other books with, they approached us and said, hey, what do you think about doing a prayer book, like a 52? They had an idea for it. And we said, that's like what we love doing the most. And so,
we jumped on it. Yeah.
We were like, that's amazing.
So we're really excited about that. That's been such a blessing. And like you said, you know, you never know the impact. And just the other day, the lady that works at our we have like a local coffee shop in our neighborhood, which is
amazing. And we live in this really cute little, like, there's only 1,000 people in our town, really cute little neighborhood.
We live in like a Hallmark town. Anyway, so this lady lives there, and she had started reading the book, and she sent me a picture of like one of the things that was like an action step that she was doing. She's like, look familiar. And I was like, that's amazing. Like, so cool. You know, the lady at the coffee shop.
I love that. Do you ever get approached sometimes by just strangers on the street? Like, hey, I follow you. Thank you so much for what you're doing.
Yeah. People at church or something, they'll be like, hey, I saw you on YouVersion, or I saw you on, you know, or whatever it is.
And they're like in LA with the church of like, hey, your relationship. We do a lot of things with like pre-married people or, you know, singles and stuff. So like a lot of people are like, this really helped me through a heart breakup or, you know, different things. So
The speaking of the pre-marriage thing, that's a huge need these days. I feel like more than ever. Just the world of the singles, with the way social media is and with the way the world is and the way feminism and all of the things, that have just kind of twisted everything. It's really awesome that you guys are ministering in a large way to that demographic. It's so needed.
Yeah. We've been really trying to, you know, when we started out, we have such a passion for marriages. Like when we talked about just doing anything online or just as a ministry, we were like, we want to change marriages across the world. And we were like, huh, how do we get people? Where do we have the maximum impact? And we're like, hey, why don't we get them before they get married? And we just have had such a passion about really training our clients and people that we work with of just helping them thrive in their relationships now, in their relationship with God now, because, you know, you need some of that to be in order not to take the ultimate, like a huge bag of luggage into marriage. The less luggage you carry into it, you know, the less you're going to have to take care of once you're there.
Yeah.
And it helps so much.
Okay. So I feel like we put a little bit of the cart before the horse. Let's take a step back. I'd love to know so my audience can get to know you guys. I'm sure a bunch of them already know you guys, but give me some of your guys' background story, you know, some of the biographical information about you guys so they can get to know you guys a little bit more.
Yeah. So Caleb and I have been married for over 11 years.
Yeah.
And like he said, just have such a passion for marriage. My background story a little bit, I grew up in a Catholic home, but didn't do anything, like never read my Bible, never really did anything much with like my relationship with God, and God totally transformed my life. I did such a 180 after my sophomore year of college, and just totally, I mean, Jesus totally like wrecked me in the best way possible. And like the way I was living was so different than the way after he just encountered me in such a crazy way. And, I got engaged. I was after that, and I was in this, relationship, set to be married. And on Valentine's Day, 3 months before the wedding was planned and paid for. He broke up with me on Valentine's Day, took back the ring. Mm-hmm. And it was, he was someone that was really foundational in my faith, because I was a very new believer. And so it was, and my old friends, weren't in my life, because it was just, I couldn't be around it because of just lifestyle differences and everything when I was a new believer. And so that was a time that God just totally let my worth be in him alone. You know, so many things were taken, and he then, he really propelled me to go to a Fuller Seminary in Pasadena, California, to get my master's in marriage and family therapy. And just, the girl that was like so bad at relationships that she got, you know, like that relationship didn't work. Now it's like just something I'm so passionate about, helping others that have, you know, put their worth in men, had a lot of issues and hard breakups, to be able to really thrive in the relationship with God and be set up for a healthy marriage. And so I love, you know, I've been counseling since then and love helping people in relationships. And then when I met Caleb, you know, getting to partner together in ministry and help people together. And so. Yeah,
absolutely. I'm so proud of you. When I hear her story, I always get so proud of all that she's been able to accomplish. You're amazing. So I, a little bit similar, some differences, but I grew up in a Christian home and my parents were in ministry for the longest time, their whole careers, and later on started to make my faith my own. And then I suffered in college. This is a very short condensed version, but in college I suffered what I call the three dominoes that fell apart in my life. One, I lost out on my dream to play basketball professionally. I was playing in college, loved it, doing really well. And then I hurt my back one day in practice and everything was done. A couple days later, my girlfriend, that happened later. A couple days later, my grandpa, it was my birthday, he died. He went into the hospital, had a good checkup, walked out to the parking lot, had a heart attack and died. And then my girlfriend of 5 years, few days after that, broke up with me. And so these three core things in my life were just torn from me. And I spent years trying to figure out, you know, what God has for me, you know, what plan does he have? I hadn't been, you know, I'd been in a relationship, but I wasn't that great at relationships yet. And just really wanted to figure out what God had for my life. And, you know, eventually led me to going back to school. I got my master's in education. Was a teacher for almost 10 years. And then I met Stephanie. And
along that journey.
And God was just wooing me back towards him and healing those wounds. And Stephanie was a massive part of that. She really changed my life and helped me to start really taking my faith seriously again since high school and college. And so now we get to combine our giftings of marriage and family therapy and education. And we have courses and all that kind of stuff, you know, trainings, and we help our clients. We run all kinds of things and write books. And God is just amazing how he can take our, what seems like ashes in our lives and bring it into beautiful gardens.
Yeah. I love that. You guys do have an incredible thriving online ministry. I mean, if anyone follows you on Instagram would know that you guys have, my wife and I have been in social media for a long time, but you guys very quickly surpassed what we were doing, which is, I'm totally fine with, because I love more and more people out there spreading the good news of Jesus and also encouraging relationships to be healthy. So I'm all for it. But you have this ministry online. You were talking about, sounds like you both have these backgrounds that have melded together almost perfectly in this relationship and in being able to minister in this way. What was the catalyst though for, I mean, you were a teacher, you had aspirations for basketball. It sounds like you went to school, Stephanie, for therapy. So you were wanting to go that direction already, but what was that aspiration of like, okay, we are going to step into something online. We're going to do this thing. And now now you're where you're at. What was that trigger point?
I
talk about that.
I remember when I was in my master's degree and all my friends at Fuller were talking about different things they wanted to do. And I worked community mental health, and then I did private practice. And I just kept feeling this nudge of like, I'm not going to be doing any of these things that all my classmates are talking about, like what they want to do next. And the private practice, I had the best boss ever that ran the private practice. And she's like, I want you to be like my, you know, like
protege.
And I just felt something was off. Like I loved it, but I just kept feeling this nudge of that people online, like people were hanging out on social media, and that everything that I learned in my program, I hadn't known before. There's so many things that changed my life once I got my MFT. And I was like, my marriage and family therapy master's, I'm like, why don't people know this? Like, why? This would have saved me so much heartbreak. I wouldn't even have been in like most of these relationships if I would have known this information. And just started, God was healing me through the program. I did all kind of extra trainings, anything Fuller offered. And there's so many amazing ministries in Pasadena. Just so many like powerful prayer ministries. So I got all the extra trainings of like, I mean, I was so hungry and I didn't know anyone. Like I was hungry for God's word. I was in Pittsburgh. I lived in Pittsburgh. I was in Pasadena, didn't know a soul. So any extra time I was at church, I was learning extra. I'm like so hungry to know as much as I could for me to get healing and also for to help others get healing.
Yeah.
And I just kept feeling this nudge of there are so many people online that around the world that do not know any of these things. So what if we could, or me, I didn't know Caleb yet, but like, I just kept feeling this nudge to share it, but I didn't know how. So I kept leaning into that. And I told Caleb probably pretty early on that but I didn't even have like Instagram.
I had no concept for like online social media.
I never knew anyone that did that. I didn't even have Instagram because I had a BlackBerry.
What year was this?
When we first started talking about that, we weren't really 2013. Online. Yeah, 2013. We were still, it was still kind of very new.
When did Instagram even come out? Like it was such a new thing.
A little bit before that, but we weren't really.
Because I don't know.
Yeah.
We weren't really on it, you know, like at all in Facebook.
2010.
Okay.
Yeah, see, so very young.
Yeah, but I had a BlackBerry, so BlackBerries couldn't get Instagram. But I knew, I just knew like with Facebook and blogs and all of those things. So I remember I like had a little blog and I would share the gospel on there. And I don't think any, probably no one ever saw the blog, but like, I remember just having this heart that like people need to hear if someone could have reached little Stephanie online and I could have heard some of these things, like how much it could have transformed my life and my worth and my value and knowing it's in Jesus instead of all these other places. Wow. And so, we were teaching and it just further, I got a job at the same school and I taught about relationships and I taught Bible at this Christian school he was working at.
Yeah.
And then even further, all the kids were like constantly online. They were on social media from, I had seventh graders. He had, you know, 10th and 11th graders. They're constantly on social media and they're like, that's where they're hanging out. And that's where we need to start. And what they're seeing is so horrible. Like, what if we could start, like, I remember my Bible classes, I would tell my students, like, cause there was like a social media class that I also helped to teach. And it was like, well, what if we start putting like good things out online and started sharing God's love online? And so, you know, we started doing that like in the class and just like as a class. And then I told Caleb, like, I really feel like I want to do this full time and really try to do it. So it was after 3 years of our marriage, we had been saving up to go to a trip
to Europe,
just because we've always wanted to go. We still haven't gone. we used all that money to pour into starting a business, online ministry and just bought a camera. And we took business. We never had a business course. We never had, like, we just bought some online courses that we took.
Yeah.
And
I was still teaching. I was still teaching and I was an athletic director and I was doing, you know, all these extra things at the school at the time just to kind of make things go. But yeah, we took that leap of faith. But she said, like, I really feel like God is calling me to this. And I was like, I can't say no to God. And 3 years after that, I quit and went full time, you know, and God just kind of, we just trusted and we were just obedient and God made the way. And that's kind of how it's always been,
and
I feel like.
And sometimes he just gives you the next step and you're like, where's this going? And he doesn't, you know, but then he keeps walking and just seeing Caleb's passion because he's like, you know, I don't know if you want to speak to that, just like how your heart changed so much.
Yeah.
And like, you weren't really knowing much about like the marriage space
about the marriage space. I don't know anything about being online. I didn't like have an interest in doing any of that at the time.
You guys' learning curve was like everything.
Yeah. Yes. Everything. Like, that was not
everything.
Yeah. And so we just dove in and I dove in and just learned everything I could at every level. And it was just so interesting. One thing I love about doing this is not only the ministry part, but there's just this part of being online that is so interesting because it's always changing and you're always learning new skills and you're having to adjust and you're having to change how you're doing things. And you're having to, you know, you can't just put out the same thing. You have to, like, you know, continually move forward and grow. And so I love that part of it. So now I feel like I'm even more passionate about it than she is. Like, I feel like I'm like fully gung ho, even though
too,
we both
but,
are,
yeah,
but like, it's so
him.
I've come alive. I like tell people that like basketball, I always thought that was supposed to be like everything, but I feel like this is what God has called me to. And I feel very, very at peace with that and very passionate about it. And I love it. And I've been going with, to Stephanie's school of masters in marriage and family therapy as much as I can. But it's been amazing to learn.
Like
but,
any extra trainings or
training and reading books and reading your books and, you know, just learning everything I can to just walk out whatever God has for us in this.
And that right there is such an important thing for all of us to consider is like, okay, what is God calling us to? It's not all going to be the same. It's not going to be online ministry for everyone. It might be for some people. But that fact of like feeling that calling, like, okay, like we have this passion in us, or I have this passion in me. It started with you, Stephanie. And I'm seeing a need. And then you're just like, okay, what does this look like, Lord? And praying through, and then also preparing for it and building up for it. And you said something, Stephanie, that was really interesting. And it's something that I learned earlier. We've been doing this, I couldn't even tell you, 2012 we started online. And when we were posting on Facebook, like Facebook was all the rage. You know, we moved from MySpace, and Twitter was barely, and it was not even really a thing yet. And we're on Facebook. And I remember when we were trying to start talking about marriage, which was weird for us because we were also new. My first initial thought was like, let's ask people and talk about the hard things. Like that was, and nothing was happening with that. There was no like, I actually tried running an ad when ads were first available on Facebook. And I was like, I don't know anything about this. I didn't have any money, but I was like, I'll throw a couple bucks at it, see what happens.
Yeah.
And I tried an ad that was like, is your marriage need help? Right. And it did nothing. Like no one wanted it. No one clicked on it. And I was like, okay. And then I did an ad that said, I love my husband, and it blew up. Like it was like, I was like, oh, interesting. I was like, people aren't like, you saw a need of, there's all this negativity. There's all this bad influence. There's all this, just the way of the world. And you're like, why don't we put something good? Why don't we put something good out? Let's show a different example, which is very much how often we're supposed to show our love is not by our words, but by our actions. And so showing an example of Christ's love, showing an example of a healthy relationship, showing an example of what God's, how God works. And so that was a big life lesson for us, business ministry lesson early on is people need encouragement. They need to be shown the right way, not just pointing out the issues and the errors. I when you said that, I was like, that is such a true thing. And I've seen it over and over and over again of why don't we put something better out? And what's better than Jesus Christ? You know, what's better than the gospel? So,
That's so good. I love that.
It's awesome that you guys have been in for so long too. What was that? You said that this was, you know, a calling. What was there a specific moment that you're like, we need to do this full time? Because you said you quit and transitioned. Was there a specific moment you guys sat down and you're like, we're going to do this?
You know, I don't know that it was like, I don't even know how to articulate this, but we're just so, us two are very connected. And I feel like when she started doing that and I saw like her come alive and then just getting a taste of it, like, I feel like I started to come alive and I was like, wow, you know, we work really well together. And there's this, you know, when we see the impact and we see, you know, clients coming to us and saying their lives are changed or people are, you know, we're just like, wow, okay, God, like you did this, and so I think we just kind of were like, how do we make this happen that we can do this together and we can work together on this and continue on in this so that, you know, we can do it like we keep saying, like what God has called us into. And I think that just was like a no brainer, but then it was waiting on God and waiting on the timing of that, you know, and trusting that, you know, because if I could have, I would have just quit the first day, you know, but like we hadn't established what we were doing, you know? And so just finding the right timing for that. And then I quit right before COVID. And so that was another thing,
perfect,
you know,
timing,
right? Yeah. That was great for online stuff. God makes the way. And so I feel like that's such an integral part of our story and our ministry and everything, that God makes the way. And we've seen that time and time again, even when it doesn't seem like it's going to happen, God makes the way. And I think for us, it was just making that decision. And then I feel like I had this note that I think we still have in our prayer book somewhere. Yeah. And I wrote down like, Stephanie, I'm all in.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I've just been like all in on it.
Yeah. You know? Have the date. We don't have that prayer book, but I felt like, for a while that he was kind of like doing, not focus, like he was online, but there was like, he didn't know exactly what he wanted to share online. Like he loved, like yeah. he knew he was loved sharing about Jesus and marriage, but yeah. other stuff too. And like, so I feel like it was kind of all over yeah. the place. And so I feel like he made a decision of like, you know, hey, this is the, I want to go in this with you. Cause I feel like I was kind of talking about one thing and he was talking about something else. And yeah. it was a little bit disjointed. And we just really took that to prayer because we realized we're like, hey, we want to be in, like, if we're doing this together yeah. or if we're doing two separate businesses, yeah. that's fine. But how are we going to bridge? Like, if yeah. we're going to talk about business advice and marriage, it felt like we kind of wanted to be the same in focus together. And yeah. in together. And he really prayed about it and I did. And he was like, yeah, I'm all in. And that date was just yeah. like, okay, like, I want to put,
because I didn't have like the same expertise in the beginning. You know, I didn't have that same background and I wanted to develop that and learn that. And so once I was like, you know what, like, I really feel like God is nudging me to go in this fully with you. I was truly all in. I'm an all in or not all in type of a person. And so when I'm all in, I'm like, gung ho, let's do it. And yeah. I want to be excellent at it. And so, yeah.
Do you desire to pray more for your spouse? Do you desire to pray more with your spouse? We understand that you may not know where to start, or maybe you feel uncomfortable praying, or maybe you don't know what to pray, or maybe you simply want to add something more to your current prayer life. This is why we wrote The Marriage Gift, 365 Prayers for Our Marriage. We desire that it would be used as a daily reminder and catalyst for you and your spouse to grow a dynamic and consistent prayer life together. This book is a compilation of 365 unique and powerful prayers that cover a range of diverse topics that every marriage deals with. You can read it alone, or ideally, you read it with your spouse. Also, we hope that the topics that are brought up in these prayers would become a starting point for deeper and more intimate conversations with your spouse and a desire to seek God on these matters together. Visit themarriagegift.com today and order your copy and give your marriage the greatest gift, powerful and meaningful prayer. Visit themarriagegift.com today. Awesome. Let's talk about, so you guys are very uplifting and transparent on your online ministry, just for yeah. facing, like, you guys are trying to be very honest. What are some of the challenges you guys have faced at being so open with your relationship and faith as you've been doing this ministry?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, immediately it comes to mind when 2020 and TikTok, and we had a couple of video go viral. It's funny. I never, TikTok was his thing. So he would just tell me, hey, Steph, just stand in front of the camera and like point this way three times. And like, then he made, I didn't know what he was going to do. So yeah. like all our TikTok videos, he just had me do whatever, you know, that then he was going to put yeah. the caption in, whatever. So he put out a video and it was just like, I don't know, 6 seconds long or something. And it said, what we did before, what did, how did you say
things
it?
We did, before we had sex. And, it just said that. And then it, at the like crescendo of the song, it popped us saying we got married. And,
oh, awesome.
Yeah. And so and like, we like celebrated. Yeah.
And it was a trending sound, like a trending, trending video, like, you know, people like, doing like what I did before video. And so then so I was just like pointing and I didn't even like know, but which is cool. Like I was fine with him sharing.
And it was purposefully not like what you need to do before that or what this, it was like, this is what we did because, you know, but yeah, it struck a chord with people and
not a very nice chord.
It was intense. And,
we were in tabloids. There's
like British tabloids.
They said, Christian TikTokers brutally bullied from this video. And they didn't, the tabloids weren't mean. They were saying like, but
it was highlighting what was happening.
Yeah,
it was intense. And there was like, you know, stitches and this and that, that got millions and millions of views. Like the offshoots of it were just intense. So yeah, that was crazy.
I remember that. And I, it really affected me in about like 2020. Like, I think, you know, it was just a lot in general, but I remember that really affecting me and just feeling like the way that it affected me worried me. Cause I was like, this why is this affecting me so much? I mean, there was death threats. There was threats like, we are putting a curse that you would never have children. Like there was like some really deeply personal things as we were struggling to have kids. And now we have lost two kids. So like there was deeply personal things, but I think I realized like God had me take a step back in 2020. A lot of the things we were doing, the way we were making our money in 2020 was brand deals. Like we didn't have our courses. We didn't have any books. We didn't have, we were sharing the gospel online and we were sharing about marriage and godly marriage, but we didn't have any like way to make money. Like you don't make money from sharing the gospel online unless like a church is supporting you or someone, you know what I mean? And so we
it's
weren't
very
making
rare that that's happening.
Right. And now Instagram pays for like, you know, they sometimes give money for if your reels do good or something, but that wasn't even the case, you know, at that time. So our money was coming from brand deals. So like we would post and, so at that time, God was really convicting me to stop doing all brand deals, which is our main source of income because during COVID, just stopped in COVID. And then that with TikTok and we started building like a large following on TikTok. Yeah. And I felt too that God was saying not to do TikTok because I needed to surrender like that any worth that I was having in social media, God was really tearing away from me at that in 2020. Yeah. And he was doing like such a work in our heart to stop doing that. And so that we could handle whatever he had next in terms of, you know, you said, you know, sharing things online and, you know, what that impact is. And so I think he was just really building our foundation of trust in him and our worth in him and being able to surrender that. And I just feel like it was one of the best decisions we ever made to be obedient to those specific things. We had some really big brand offers that were like super tempting to take and we turned them down and those brand deals never happened because of COVID, because they had to back out because of the state of the world. And so God was testing our obedience muscle. And I'm so happy that we said yes. Like he knew things we didn't know. And so he was having us take a step of obedience that it was saving us a lot of pain and then it wouldn't have even happened anyways. Yeah. And then same with just like surrendering some of those things just helped solidify like our mission. What, you know, we started making the courses, we started mentoring, we started finding other ways that God was wanting us to put our effort instead of taking brand deals. And we haven't taken like really hardly any brand deals since. Like we only partner with like
mission aligned, you know, companies.
Like we're with like World Vision that I've been sponsoring kids for like 18 years. You've been sponsoring for 15, years, you know, so, you know, things like that of things that, are super, super mission aligned. But other than that, like God's just for this time, I mean, not to say he wouldn't ever open that up again, but he's been allowing us to, he's been providing through other ways of like our own resources and own things that he's helped us be creative with. So
well, it sounds like you guys are, I love that you said stretching our obedience muscles, you know, like that's what God wants from us, is not just like, oh, this thing's working, therefore that must be what God wants. Because there's gonna be plenty of times that God's like, well, regardless of what you think is working, what do I want? And you know, having that that surrendered heart, being able to turn down money, being able to turn down publicity, you know, you're getting negative and positive, but even shutting down things, because as believers, no matter what we're doing, that is the case. That is exactly where God wants us to surrender all of those things and not hold on to anything and be like, oh, this is my identity. Right. You guys have been speaking a lot about identity. And it sounds like the Lord has been in your life addressing where your identity lies. And you talk about that in your book, and I want to get to that in a little bit, but I did want to touch on, if you're okay, you talked about some loss with your journey of trying to have children. I'd love to, if it's too sensitive, it's okay. We can skip over it. But whatever you'd like to share on how you guys navigated that season of life where you miscarried with your twin boys, is that correct?
Yeah.
And how, Caleb, you walked with your wife through that, how you both walked through that grief, how you guys pursued the Lord in that. Because I know there's a lot of people listening that have dealt with this. I have close friends that have dealt with it many times, and it's never easy, never.
Oh, man. So 3 years ago, we had been trying for years of trying to have children, and we found out right around this time, actually.
Because it was on your his birthday's tomorrow. And so he found
happy birthday.
On my, thank you. And on my birthday is when we found out we were pregnant. And it was such like a, wow, God, like this is crazy. Such an answer to prayer. And we were so excited. And, you know, just getting to celebrate that season. And, you know, later learning on the day. So the day we went in for our first ultrasound, we had no idea.
Which was 3 months.
Yeah.
Because we were traveling to California.
Yeah, we were in LA. And
because his family lives there.
Yeah. And we had just gotten back from LA and we had our appointment and we had no idea we had twins. So we found out that day at the beginning of the appointment that she's like, she had written down on the thing, baby A. And I was like, that's weird. And then she wrote down baby B.
And they looked so perfect. And you could see, we're like freaking out. I mean, they're just like, look absolutely perfect.
But I'll just never forget. She was like, she was not kind. She was not talking. She was very quiet.
And
it was really awkward. And we were kind of like, do we sound like we were so joyous, but also like, why isn't she really saying anything?
And we couldn't hear anything, but we had never done it before. So we're like,
what do we expect?
Are we supposed to hear something right now? Yeah. You know, like you're suspecting to
and
hear
I
the
was
heart.
Just, we could just tell in our spirit that something was off. And then, so she had told us that we had lost them and it was just like,
she told the doctor
came in and told us. And,
that would be really hard as an ultrasound technician. I'm sure it's always hard.
Yeah, I feel really bad.
Imagine.
I can't imagine. And it was like the highest of highs, like finding out we have twins, like double portion, and then finding out we had lost them in the same moment. It was just such like a knee jerk, like you're in a car wreck and you're, you know, like, whoa, you got hit with that. And it just was, it was absolutely devastating. And so, you know, watching Stephanie.
Yeah. And then they were just like, we have to do emergency surgery. There was a lot of things that they were worried about with my health because they're like your uterine walls. It's like, you're showing at 6 months because your uterine wall is, you know, and they were just real, there was a couple of things that they were really concerned about my health and they were like, we have to do emergency surgery. And so it was like the high to low versus to now, like they're acting like my life's in danger and it's just like urgent, like your life's in danger. And it was just a lot. And so this like really intense surgery that we had to do like right after. And it was just like the amount of pain physically and mentally, emotionally, spiritually, that was just, we had never gone through that.
Yeah. And then, God, it was rough. It was a hard season for us. And
but
so
what
we
you
had a
did
hard time.
The day after, when
the day
we
got home,
I look at Caleb, I'm like, what do we do? And you said to me
that we worship God.
And he turned on a worship song and we just sat there worshiping. And it was just that holy moment of like, it just was one of the moments you'll never forget in your life.
Anything else that I could possibly, I was like, I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to do. And I know that I read my Bible every day and it says over and over, the God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And same God in my pain as he was when we celebrated, he's the same God, you know, the day I was born till now, like all these things. And so I was just like, that's all I got. That's all I have for you. And it was a beautiful moment. Mm-hmm. And we got to, you know, we just made a choice very early on in that process. And like, I just think of people that are going through that and it's so hard. I never had a register for that. You know, you don't know something until you've gone through it. So I had no comprehension of what
neither
that was
of us
like.
Had known anyone, neither
no
of our parents, no
anything.
One in our family, no one that we ever knew had gone through that. Now, a couple of my friends, like later on that had several kids, like then came to me and said that they had gone through that, but no one in our immediate families that we knew, or we'd never walked through that with anyone.
And so I just encourage Stephanie and anybody who might be listening, like if you're going through that, like I just told her, like whatever way we need to heal, whatever way you need to process this, I'm just here for you and I'm game for it, you know, whatever that is. And so she would read books and she'd like, this book says to do that. And we would just do it. And we'd do all the different things. And we would just try to process it with God. We would try to celebrate the life. And so we named them Asher and Shiloh. Those are the boys' names.
Beautiful names, by the way. I know friends with not the same family, but different boys with that name. those names.
Really? Yeah. And Asher had, and the ultrasound had a like smile on, you could see like his face looked like he was smiling, and Asher means like happier smile. And so that's like one of the reasons. And, but they told it like in these books, they were like honor them, their souls, like a soul's time being a soul does not raise or lower the value of a soul. Like the soul, like
those were your babies. Those children were made in God's image.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep. And eternity, like whether a soul's like, you know, 3 months the soul was there, or whether the soul's like 90 years, 100 years of life, like, but it's an eternal soul. Like it's something that is eternal, which I never, you know, this stuff that I didn't necessarily process before, but I could feel that that was true based on like the value of like them. And I always, like I say to the women that I've like worked with since, and, you know, cause they're like, well, why am I feeling this way? I'm like, who else is living inside of you for 3 months or 2 months or one, like literally like in, there's no closer, like 3 months of your life, they're living inside of your body. Like that's that's a
very intimate experience.
There's like what other, or even people like, well, it was only 6 weeks, 6 weeks of someone living inside of your body, like your DNA, and like no one else has lived inside like you for 6 weeks, you know? And so
you're amazing.
It was the worst time, but also the time that Jesus just, I mean, the way he wrapped around us, I'm such a feeler. And it was actually a time for a period that I felt his love the least. And I kept reading every single day. I read the verse, God is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And it was a time where God was teaching me, because like I said, I feel things so intensely, but I didn't feel his love intensely, but he was teaching me his, like the foundation of truth is enough. Even when I can't feel it, it was like when you're in that huge storm and you're like rocking around like crazy, and like he would be my peace at times, but the pain in every way was so intense, but I knew his truth. Like it was, I knew his truth even when I didn't feel his truth. And I claimed it, like we just were like, we're still going to do the things we always do, that we know, like we're not going to open our phones until we read God's word and eat. Some days I would sit there for a long time mad, and
she would just sit there for,
and I wouldn't open it, but I wouldn't do anything else, but I would just talk to him. But to me, I'm like, some people are said that to someone and they said, oh, that you were, you know, just having a terrible relationship with God at that point. I said, I feel like that was the closest we'd ever, like, what relationship can you just sit there with in hours in silence, or just being brutally honest, you know, and while then also seeking, like, to me, that like was such an intimate, close time with the Father, of him just like, I know he was there with me. And we put these pictures on our wall of Jesus. He's holding our two, like you see him holding like his hands out, and then you see his hands holding like two little boys' hands. So we have them up, but I would just sit there and look at them. Yeah. And he started then helping me to feel his love and started feel his peace. And, but it was a process. It wasn't overnight.
Well, I love that perspective. It's the right perspective. Is it, his love is there whether we feel it or not, because what he says is true. When he says something, it doesn't matter how, whether we feel like what he said is true or it is true. And actually what you're explaining, that grief you're feeling, I think there's been a real I would say the devil has influenced our culture in such a way. I remember when we first got pregnant, just this sense of like, oh, don't tell anyone you're pregnant until you got past a certain amount of time. And I remember thinking like, oh, that's normal. Like you keep it private. And the reason you kept it private was just in case you had a miscarriage. So that you wouldn't have to have people celebrate for no reason, or you wouldn't have people feel the grief for no reason.
Right.
As we've had children, as I've had friends go through miscarriages, and I've, that is such an anti like children sentiment.
It's like, 100%. No,
like whether that child ever makes it to full term or not, it's a child, and it's your child.
And it's worth celebrating.
And it's worth celebrating, and it's worth mourning over.
And it's worth mourning. Yep.
And that those things are not negative things to make someone celebrate and then have to mourn. No, actually, that's what we're to do for each other. And it's a hard thing, but I just appreciate that you guys walked through that together. And I just want to encourage anyone out there that is pregnant to not hide it for fear of if you lose that child, to celebrate that child for however long you have them. Because God might give you moments with them. God might give you years with them, but totally worth celebrating and totally also worth the mourning. And your grief that you felt is from the love that you had for your children, which doesn't make it feel any less, you know, grief-stricken. It doesn't take away the pain, but it actually is, it's proof that those children existed and that you loved them. And I think that's an amazing thing and beautiful. So I really do appreciate you sharing that journey. I hope it someone that's listening right now is encouraged by that, because it's a pretty common thing these days, which is also really sad. But that was really good. I appreciate that. I'd love to talk about your book. I know we went from something pretty heavy, but your book is called Wholehearted Love. And I'd love to you guys to share what encouraged you guys to write this book, and what was some of the passion put into it?
Well, thanks for sharing all that, Aaron. That's
I appreciate your encouragement.
So good. And you know, we wrote this book. So we had a book agent had reached out to us and asked us like what ideas we had, and we had this idea, like the ideas of things we did in our client work of just we call it like the toxic cycle, but the pain in our lives and the things that you know, really attack our the love and respect and like violations of love and trust that we experience, and then how that impacts relationships. Since we do these like this cycle with our clients that I learned from Terry Hargrave, one of my professors at Fuller. He also did him and his wife did our premarital counseling, and Terry and Sharon. And so we kind of do it a little differently and share a lot of his insights too in the book, but just personal stories and ways that we realize that the pain and the like the arrows that come to hit us in life can really put up these scars that then don't allow us to really experience God and others in the fullness of the way that God intended that to be experienced. And so we both had that feeling from past, you know, pain that we had experienced in our life, but then also that breakthrough of being able to show up just fully and wholly yourself. And so we wrote this whole idea, and then, you know, some books, some publishers liked it, and we started working with them, and we started writing the book at the same time. We only had just started while we found out, like right after we found out we were pregnant, and then right after the miscarriage. So the whole manuscript was basically due in this time of us processing this like deep grief.
So you're writing a book about wholehearted love.
When honestly, like so much of my heart just wanted to shut down, like, you know, and what I was writing, God was having me do, and God was having like all the tools that I was giving in the book, that God was having me put that into practice in a way that was working and was healing parts and just like coming alive and getting to, be so real and honest and vulnerable with God and with Caleb and with the like close trusted people in my life, and just seeing, like, I'm like, okay, well, if this is to minister to me, and then Caleb, as I felt like had a similar experience, like it ministered to us so much, because I really feel like God was like giving us like different stories to process and different things to share. So we were really like living and walking the book out as we were writing it. And, so it's a very like vulnerable
book,
and but it felt, you know, it felt kind of cruel at first of like, God, your timing on this feels like terrible.
You don't like that.
But it turned out that it's like everything he does, like his timing actually was perfect, and it was for this bigger purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like the message that really resonates with us, and one of the main reasons why we're so passionate, is we know what it's like to live kind of loving with half our heart and half out there and half not. And we both, through our journeys and growing with God, have learned to be more wholehearted. And we wanted to encourage others to put it out there with God and to let God into these places in your heart, those back rooms that no one's ever been into, and allow him to heal that so that you can now live and love with your whole heart, and you can love others, you can love God, and you can love yourself fully, wholeheartedly the way that God designed it. And we're so passionate about that. That's, like Stephanie said, so much of what we teach our clients and the freedom that we want them to have. Like we live the mistakes so that we could help people not have to do that. And we want people to be able to fully experience that. And so, yes, having to then go through the biggest loss of our entire lives during writing, I don't think was a I don't want to call it a mistake, but I would say like God was definitely working on our hearts and has always wanted us to fully focus on Him. And there's a message in there for somebody going through that as well. And so we just wanted to be able to do that.
I don't believe in coincidences. I say this a lot on my show. I believe God works all things together for good for those who love Him and called according to His purposes. And I know that based off of what the Bible teaches and what I've experienced personally, what you're describing is God tests our faith. Because a faith that's not tested isn't a faith at all. Like if you're asked to step and you say, I think I can, I believe I can, I believe you told me to, and you don't, like, then you, there's no faith.
Right.
And so it sounds perfectly like God to test what you say you believe in the moment of you trying to tell others to believe the same thing. And God's like, well, do you believe this? Are you going to walk in this?
Yeah.
And He does that with all of us. You talk about in your book, you were just talking about, you know, how to have this whole heart and we have past things that, I know we got to close out soon, but I just want to get to one more point before we do that. Masks. How much of this idea of the masks that we put on come from misplaced identities? Like you talked a lot about identity. How much of that is like, I'm protecting myself in this way because of this way I think about myself, the way I identify myself. And I also don't look at you the way I should because of the way I identify myself or what I'm identifying with. What would you say to that for people that, you know, might be interested in your book or just as believers, you know, in our walks with our spouses?
Yeah. I think so much of how we interact with other people and the things in our life come from the pains that we've experienced. You know, we oftentimes see people out of the lens or out of the place of pain in our lives. Mm-hmm. And we put on these masks to protect ourselves. You know, I'm the put together person. I'm the, you know, person that, you know, has it all together, that hasn't been through pain. I'm the super Jesus person, but inside I'm like dying, I'm hurting, I'm in this immense amount of pain. And so I think so much of the time, you know, I talk about in the book, like how many times I was walking around with this mask of just, I had to be this like perfect Christian guy who had just lost out on all these important things. And how do I even process that? And so for me, it was taking off the mask and then being okay with what's underneath. And being okay with dealing with those things and allowing God, you know, into those places in our lives. And I would just encourage anybody who feels like they have to be something else or to feel like they have to be, you know, something for somebody or whatever that is, or even in their relationships or in their marriage. Like I would just encourage them that, you know, God has uniquely created them for a purpose. Yeah. And He, like you said, in Romans 8:28, you know, He has a purpose for their lives. He has and does all things, you know, with His greater purpose in mind. Yeah. And I believe that, you know, God can heal those moments if you run to Him. God is not afraid of dealing with your pain. You know, right. He welcomes it. Just like Stephanie, if she knew that I was in pain and I came to her, she would want to know that, whether it's like this horrible thing that I'm like yelling and I'm hurting. God wants to know that in even more deeply. He's our loving Father. And so when I found the most peace in my life is when I was able to face those things head on, remove those masks and be able to rest in the Father in that and allow Him to fully heal those areas. It doesn't mean it's not going to come up, and there's a grace over that. Yeah. In the times that it does, like there is absolute grace over that. But as we do learn to face that and test that muscle again of obedience of like, God, I'm just going to put this back in your hands. I'm going to put this back in your hands. I'm not going to hold on to this. You know, when I hold on to this, it causes me to be bitter. It causes me to be, you know, frustrated. It causes me to be all these things that I know I'm not meant to be. But when I release it to you, I have peace. Mm-hmm. I have your grace. And I know that there's purpose and I know that there's a plan and you are good now, and you're going to be good in the future. And so realizing that and being with Him in that, I think, is such a valuable thing.
I think if anyone take anything away from this, it's if God's good now, he's going to be good in the future, and he's been good in the past. He's always good.
Absolutely.
As we, before we close out, was there anything else you guys would like to share with our audience, an encouragement, or, and also let everyone know how to find you guys?
Yeah. Did you have anything you wanted to share?
Well, I just think this whole conversation just makes me, like, I think of whoever's listening and just thinking of, you know, I think there's so many ways that I disqualified myself, or that I just had so much self-hatred my whole life. So I'm just thinking of someone today that just feels like stuck, or just stuck in like even comparison, or just not feeling good enough, or anything like that. And just, it's a reminder that any, like, our stories are a testament, like, any day is a chance for just a fresh start with God, you know, and just his mercies are new every morning. And it's just that chance of like, he, you know, like right now we just get to bring it to him. Like whatever we're holding, whatever, even things like when I first encountered him, like the masks I was wearing, I'd been wearing for 20 years, you know, and it was, or whatever, 18 years, and how he's so good at being like so gentle and kind and patient with us, but that he wants to take it. And if it, if he doesn't, like, it goes somewhere, you know, the pain or whatever we're facing. And usually it goes to places that, you know, it grows in places we don't want it to grow. And it's like, he's the best gardener to have that peace come. So I just pray that people would feel encouraged, that it's like, okay, it's not too late. My story's not over, that God has a plan and purpose, and he's with me and for me.
In it. Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah, Taylor, absolutely. Yeah, no, and I just fully agree with that. And I believe that. And that's so powerful. Thank you for sharing. And as far as like, where people can find us, most of where we post online is through Instagram. So it's Stephanie is found at Stephanie period Rouse, Stephanie.Rouse.
And that's Stephanie with an F.
Stephanie with an F. And then I am at Caleb Jason Rouse. And then we just launched a brand new podcast. And
called the Wholehearted Love Podcast.
Wholehearted Love Podcast. Yes. And that's on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the things. And we're just really excited about just sharing stories of how God can help us live wholehearted. And we want people to come one way and leave another way and learn to live wholehearted in their lives. And so that's something very exciting that we just launched. And yeah, that's
and
where you can.
We have a lot of free resources on our website too, stephanieandcaleb.com. So there's a lot of different like eBooks, little devotionals, different our communities, mentorship, different things there too.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'll make sure to put links to all these things in the show notes. So if you're interested in finding out about more about Caleb and Stephanie, you can check them out there. Thank you so much, guys, for sharing your story and being open and transparent as you guys try to be on your own socials all the time. I appreciate that. And I'm honored to have you. So thank you so much for joining us.
We're so honored. We're honored. You and your wife have been such a blessing to us and you in ways you haven't even known. So thank you to you and your wife.
Yes.
Thank you. You're making me blush.
Well, it's true and it's a blessing. Yeah. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you guys. God bless. And I pray that your ministry just continues to grow and you, as you point people to Jesus.
Amen. Yours too.